Sure. When's Vivian's birthday? Friday, on October 5th, another national holiday. Vivian, yes. You're very welcome. What a joy. You know, when we can do that for one another, as we can share that. Well, we could always change it. That's fine. We can do that one. No, that's fine. The hymn that's printed in the bulletin is an old hymn, and it doesn't make sense when you look at the name on it. It's got the wrong name on it, if you ask me. The hymn that's listed in the bulletin is Oh How I Love Jesus. You know, that's what I always knew it by as the old title. But we will sing what you've got. That one you know, okay. So then we are okay, John. But it's that title, John. It really is confusing sometimes when you look at these hymns, and that's why it takes me a little bit to make sure I pick out the right ones that I want too. And so, it's a great joy to be able to share with you again today, you know, and. Today, as we look at Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 7, our Deacon John here, I told him this morning I was really excited when I got here because I'm excited about this message. This message is absolutely phenomenal, and it's really touching, and it's kind of neat that so oftentimes we need to be reminded of that we need to get excited about God's word. And so if I get a little excited today as I'm preaching, it's because I am. So it's just kind of my personality a little bit sometimes, but I really want you to understand that it's because God's word is exciting to me. Matthew 18, the first 7 verses, I'm gonna ask you to stand for out of respect for God's word as I read this. If you're able to stand, if you're not, that's, you know, we understand. So. Matthew 18, beginning at verse 1, in Jesus' name. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to stumble, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of its stumbling block, for it is inevitable that stumbling blocks come. But woe to the man through whom that stumbling block comes." What a reminder as we think of our Sunday school teachers being installed, the importance of training our young people. Let us pray. Lord, today, we just pray that you will take and use this message today that you've placed upon my heart to touch the hearts of your people. And Lord, if there's someone here today that does not know you, Lord, may they come to a realization and to a saving faith in you. In thy name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Did you notice in the bulletin, my message was titled, "Are You Childlike?" I subtitled that, "Or Are You Childish?" The conversation started out so innocently. It probably was nothing but more than a discussion between the disciples. They sat around kind of chewing the fat, so to speak. And then someone mentioned that so-and-so, who who was so important was going to be important also in heaven. Peter, the spokesman for the group, quickly jumps on that one and says, I don't think so. He hasn't got what it takes to be important in heaven. Now, doesn't that sound a little bit like Peter? Outspoken, ready to take and share what's on his tongue. Not always what was the right thing to say, but Peter always was kind of brass. He was kind of outspoken. He was always the quickest one to say something. Well, the 12 began to put forth their own opinions. It could be that the Pharisees were, because of their do's and don'ts and following all the rules and regulations, that maybe the Pharisees would be the most important in heaven. Well, then it moved on down to the scribes, because they were able to quote scripture and chapter and verse without any trouble. And then comes along the Sadducees, and they were found to be very theological. Well, one of these groups must be the one that's going to be the most important in heaven, according to the disciples. But then, all of a sudden, the disciples decide, wait a minute, what about us? We gave up everything to follow Christ. We gave it all up. We have nothing to claim our own. Maybe we're going to be the most famous. It's possible they even got around to saying maybe Judas Iscariot was going to be the most important in heaven because he was the treasure. He was controlled the purse strings of the 12 disciples. Because he was so important as a treasure, maybe that's why he would be number one in heaven. Well, the disciples, they couldn't agree upon anything. And they really wanted to know who was going to get the best spots in heaven. So as a group of disciples, they decide, let's go ask Jesus. Let's find out what Jesus wants us to do. What's Jesus going to tell us? Well, they crowded around Jesus, and they said, Master, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? You gotta love Jesus. He calls a small boy over, picks him up, sets him in the middle of the whole mess. And then he probably smiled at his disciples. Scripture doesn't tell us he smiled, but I'm just thinking he's standing in amongst these disciples and he's gonna teach them something, and so he smiles. And he says, gentlemen, you want to know who will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? It's the one who is most like this child. Wait a minute. Did Jesus just say that we had to be like this kid? Obviously, Jesus misunderstood the question. Obviously, Jesus had no idea what he was talking about. But Jesus read their minds. It's a good thing I can't read your minds, right? But Jesus can. Jesus read their mind. Jesus then takes and says, reinforcing what he had said, unless you are willing to humble yourself and become like a little child, you're not going to make it to heaven. Guess what? That's not the pastor's words, is it? That's God's word. Telling us we have to become like a child. We have to take and humble ourselves. Probably one of the hardest things for most humans to do is to humble themselves. It's one of the hardest things for most of us. But you know what? When we don't humble ourselves, guess what? We're going to end up and be humbled. Excuse me. Believers, That's who you are, right? But as believers, we have a dilemma here today. We really do. Because if Jesus here in our gospel text is telling us that we have to become like children, and then there's Apostle Paul over here in the epistles, what does Paul tell us? Grow up. Get rid of the milk and let's get a hold of the meat of what God's word has to say. Well, there's got to be a balance between the being childlike and being childish. Is there a balance? Or where is that balance come between what Jesus is saying and what Paul is saying? As that believer characteristic that we all need to have, we need to be careful. We have to be careful as believers not to become short-sighted. We have to be careful not to be catered to too much. Oh, it's great. Let somebody else do it. We have two ladies standing up here today who are willing to give of themselves to serve the Sunday school. The rest of you have a very important job. You better be praying for those two. Maybe you're not able to teach anymore because of your age or whatever. But your job has just begun to pray for these two young ladies. Are you praying for them? They need your prayers. Don't just let other people cater to you. But you too have to do something once in a while. Don't become selfish that everything's about you. Those are characteristics as believers that we don't want to have. When Jesus told his disciples that they had to become like little children, there's some qualities that Jesus was looking for. The first quality that Jesus was looking for that day was that children do not lose their sense of wonder. We've all seen children at Christmas time. You ever see how their eyes light up when the lights go on the tree and the presents are all around the tree? The wonder that goes on in those eyes. As adults, we've lost that wonder. But it's not just at Christmas time that children have a wonder. How about when they see a rainbow? How about when they're laying on the lawn at night looking up at the stars? They marvel at creation. That's what children do. Watch a child at the beach on a beautiful, warm summer morning or afternoon. Notice how many things that child discovers. There's a new discovery every day. There's something new. They find all kinds of treasures. But as adults, we've become blind to the world around us. Too many times, we've lost our sense of wonder. Oh, once in a while, we might be reminded of it and get kind of excited when we see a beautiful sunset. How about the Northern Lights? Does that excite you? The wonder, the beauty of the Northern Lights? How about the holding of a newborn babe? We get excited for that moment as adults, and then we drop it. Because most of the time, as adults, we have the attitude, been there, done that. Nothing exciting. King David wrote in Psalm 77:14. The first part of that verse, it says, "You are the God who works wonders." God created the Rocky Mountains. God created the Milky Way. God even created the northern lights in the night sky. If you're going to be childlike, then we need to regain that sense of wonder. We need to marvel at what God has created, and we need to pray the prayer that David prayed in Psalms 139, verses 13 to 16. And I want you to listen to this prayer. Psalms are a wonderful, wonderful book, and I'm going to be referring a lot to Psalms today. But listen to Psalms 139, verses 13 to 16. For you formed my inner parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. What a prayer. Most people today do not appreciate the way God made them. God has made each one of us unique. He's made us different. And many of you will say, "You're so different than Pastor Cal." And I told you when I came that I was different than Pastor Cal. This morning I arrived out at Norland at 10 minutes after 8, and one of the board members looked at me and says, "I'm not sure that we can handle this, you coming this early every Sunday morning." For me, I need to be to the service early. I need to have that time to settle in and be ready to do what God has called me to do. I always stay and have a quick cup of coffee afterwards, but then I get on the road and come here and I'm early. It gives me time to settle in, to get to know what's going on for the service, if there's changes. And what a blessing that is. But most of us, we sometimes complain that we're either too heavy or too thin, we're too strange. We're just not like everybody else. Maybe my hair color isn't right. Maybe whatever it might be, maybe the colors of my eyes isn't right. And we complain. But I want to remind each and every one of you that each and every one of you is a miracle. Each and every one of you was made in the image of God. Scientific achievements cannot create you. It is God that created you. Amen? You know, what a deal. What, just to think about that. Think about the blood that pumps through your body every day. That didn't just happen. The world is not an accident. And neither are you. Your salvation is not an accident. God sent his Son to die for you. All God asks is for a very simple acknowledgement. God is asking for us to receive him into our lives, that we can have eternal life. It's simple, but yet we make it complicated. We make it so hard. Number two, children have not lost their ability to trust. Children trust. How many children have trusted their father to take and jump and expect dad to catch him? Every father, I think, has done that. Every father, and maybe even some mothers. But they've always trust that you're going to catch them, that you're not going to drop them. What trust? They trust you. They trust life. But do you and I trust our Heavenly Father the way these children trust their earthly father? And some of them even trust their Heavenly Father more than we as adults. Psalms 50, verse 15. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I shall rescue you, and you will honor me. It's trusting God. That's all he's asking us to do. Do you trust him? There's a story. I want to tell you a story about a man that was standing on the edge of a cliff, and he slipped, and he went over the edge. I'm not going to fall in the second pew. He went over the edge, and there happened to be a small bush that was growing out of the side of that cliff, and he grabbed hold of that, and he held on for all he was worth. This man took and calls out, looks up. Anybody up there? This voice from heaven comes back and says, I am God. I'm here. Do you trust me? The man says, yes, I trust you. The voice comes back again, and God says, do you really trust me? And the man says, yes, I really trust you, God. God says, then let go of the bush, and I will catch you. Do you know what the man replied? Is there anyone else up there that can help me? We snicker about that, don't we? But isn't that sometimes what we do? Shake your head, that's right. How dare we not trust him? Children, trust him. As adults, we need to learn what it means to trust him. There are many that won't even admit that they trust God at their place of employment. I'm not going to let anybody know that I'm a Christian. I'm not going to let anybody know. Patty has shared some things with me on how people have, because she's spoken up. Pretty soon someone else is saying, don't talk like that. Don't do this, don't do that. As Christians, are we willing to trust and stand up for him? Trusting and admitting, letting him be in control. Psalms 56, verse 3 says, when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. Are we trusting him when we're afraid? Number three today is children haven't lost their ability to forgive. Children will forgive. As a parent, have you had to ask your child for forgiveness? I bet every parent here, if you were going to be honest, has had to ask your child for forgiveness. What has your child done? Your child readily and easily forgives. Your child forgets and moves on. What a wonderful thing. Children forgive so easily and so quickly, but we as adults oftentimes hold on to grudges. We hold on. We allow that to fester. We allow it to drive a wedge between us because we're not willing to forgive. But you know what? When we don't forgive, we end up, and what happens is we wallow in our own self-pity, in our own bitterness, and eventually it's going to destroy you. But Christ tied his forgiveness that he will give you into the way we forgive one another. Father, forgive me my transgressions as I have forgiven those around me. Paraphrased on the Lord's Prayer, but we pray it. We don't even know what we're praying. How can we ask Him to forgive us when we can't forgive each other? Can we forgive the pastor when he speaks and it's like he's stepping on our toes and he's shoving it down our throat, when actually it's our own conscience that's driving it? Jesus gave us those words to pray, and yet what do we do with them? We pray them and don't think about them. We push them aside. Wednesday night, we started studying the Lord's Prayer, breaking it down. What a study. Come Wednesday night and join us if you like, as we break down the Lord's Prayer and really begin to understand what prayer is all about. We don't need to forgive one another for your sake. We need to forgive one another for our own sake, for our own well-being. So where are you at today? Are you childlike? Are you ready to humble yourselves before Him? Or are you childish today? Are you coming to Christ just acting childish? The choice is yours. Choose whom you will serve this day. Me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Lord, again today, we just thank you and praise your holy name for your word. Lord, we just pray that you will take and use it to touch the hearts of many. Lord, we lift it to you. In thy name we pray.